Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to The Drift. And I hate to disappoint you, but I am not your host, Gary Wellings. I'm your host, Ed Bondarenka, Ed from Ipsy. And Gary had some business to take care of today, so he asked me to take off the training wheels we were running on last week, grab both handlebars real strong, try not to ride the bike into the ditch, get everything right, and to make sure I don't go too far off track, I got Pastor Rick in here. He's decided to stay over a bit. So right off the bat, let's start with a word from one of our advertisers, and that would be Infinity Gymnastics, where the fun never ends. Now, Infinity Gymnastics has preschool to adult, beginner to advanced, preschool classes, recreational classes, tumbling, trampoline, and competitive teams, birthday parties, and field trips. They're at 12420 Grand River in Brighton. The phone number is 810-229-4966. Once again, that's 810-229-4966. And you can look at the Current online and get that phone number. And the IP address is www.infinitygymnastics.com. And once again, you'll find that at the Current online, which you should be reading along with the Daily Drift for the news you need to know. So, Pastor Rick, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you. And thank you. And you read that like a pro. You must have gone to broadcasting school, right?
The not-so-Specs Howard, yeah. You know, I know so many people who have been to Specs Howard, too, who are not in broadcasting. Your hand was up.
I'm one of them, yes. Oh, I learned how to say W on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Not me.
Did you have Jim Bell?
Pardon me?
Did you have Jim Bell as an instructor?
No, I did not go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm saying, no, I'm one of the few who has not gone. No, actually,
most people in broadcasting hasn't gone.
Good friend of mine's daughter, she went, and she's now a minister of the gospel and not broadcasting whatsoever. And I know a number of people, and I've met them, and I went to Specs Howard. So,
It's good school. It gets you comfortable with speaking in front of people or speaking when you don't have people in front of you.
Yes, so. There you go. Yeah, well, it must be nice to have that training. So, in fact, talking about radio, I wanted to speak a little bit about how radio is done, because this morning I was in a panic attack. What you have to do to get ready for this show is you have to find relevant audio clips, edit them, get them to Derek. Thank you, Derek. Hey, Derek, you did get them right. Good. Thank you. And, hope for callers, be read up, know what you're talking about, and be current. So that's how I spent my morning, frankly. I wanted to talk about somebody else who's a broadcaster, and that's Bill Federer. I don't know. You familiar with Bill Federer, Rick?
Name's familiar.
The American Minute?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, actually, Bill is going to be speaking next week in town. He's going to be spending Friday evening at Big Sky Diner on Ecorse Road in Ypsilanti. The caucus starts at 9 o'clock for the Willow Run Tea Party Caucus, where he's going to be addressing them. And then, actually, my wife Sherry and I get to host him overnight. And then the next morning, we're going to take him to breakfast and then take him to Grace Baptist Church in Belleville, Michigan. And he's going to be speaking on Islam and the Christian Foundation of America. So it's at Grace Baptist Church, 164 Roy Street in Belleville. It starts at 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. Then from 1 p.m. to 1:30, he's going to be on our show. We'll be talking to him. And then at 2 o'clock, I think it's Sam's Diner, and then 4 o'clock at the church again, speaking again. So you can look on the Wham community calendar and find all this information for yourself. So that was that part of the show. We've done the
It goes really quick.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that. We got 20 minutes still to kill just in the first half.
And you already covered everything you were going to do, right?
No. Okay, so let's see, Daily Drift, news you need to know, Bill Federer, Christians in the Trump administration. This is something my wife pointed out to me, and something I wanted to point out to you. Make a selection first. I thought I had this open. Because it's not going to work so well, is it? Hyperlinks in Word. And that is not working. Special. Well, basically, the story is that the Trump administration is probably the most Christian-friendly administration we've had in umpty-ump years. What would be your guess, frankly?
Well, I would sit there and say the last really Christian-friendly president we had would have been actually Ronald Reagan, if you want me to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Which I think you wouldn't want me to be dishonest with you.
No, no.
So we'll go with Ronald Reagan. And now, that's not to say we haven't had presidents since then that didn't claim to be Christian in background. I just say that they really haven't shown it. Good example. Even before, if you go before Reagan, as far as a good Christian-friendly president, we've got to go back to probably Garfield.
Yeah, I could imagine that. We'd have to go back pretty, pretty far. And if you look at who some of the people that we have in this administration right now, Mike Pence, our vice president,
mm-hmm.
Well known as a staunch conservative and a staunch Christian
right, very yeah. much so.
I mean, we've heard recently about how he feels about protecting his reputation via his Christian witness.
I sit there and I'll watch the Democrats whip themselves into a frenzy on social media and want to get rid of Trump. And then the statement that ends up coming up somewhere is, oh, wait, if he's gone, we'll
yes.
have Pence, and Pence is a Christian.
You know? And more the conservative
and
than
more
Trump,
of a conservative.
Actually.
And so they say, well, maybe we should wait, you know. But it's just fun because once they realize that, you know, we have a very strong Christian, what they don't understand, though, as Christians, we don't believe in dictating somebody else's faith. We
We're
believe
not a theocracy.
That, right. We believe that. We believe the theocracy that we are going to experience is only going to come after the rapture and after the second
after
coming
Jesus
of the Lord.
Comes back, yes.
Right. That's when we get our theocracy. So until then, we believe that faith has to be willing and free of choice, and therefore we cannot force it on you.
This is how radio works, folks. We're going off track because right now I'm going down a rabbit trail because I'm reminded of a movie that came out in probably the late 80s, early 90s called The Handmaid's Tale, which was real popular. It was a slap at a proposed Christian theocracy that had taken over America and the abuses women suffered under that Christian theocracy. And I'm seeing ads left and right on cable now for an actual remake of a pretty poor, unwell thought out movie, piece of fiction in the first place, The Handmaid's Tale, and it's available on, I think, Hulu or something
yeah.
like that. And they're promoting it like crazy, as if under a Trump administration with all these crazy Christians in command that we would be forcing our religion as hypocrites, of course.
No, we just want our right to be able to practice our faith
yep.
in the way, as long as our faith does not interfere with the rights of others. I mean, true rights. And in my show coming up after this, we're going to be talking about what is a right. But so it's
a little plug there, folks. That's another way.
That's another thing. Yeah, that's how I get my free advertising is I sit in on shows and say, hey, listen to Moment of Clarity between 2 and 3.
You did it again. You know that.
What?
You knew that. You did it again.
I did.
So the next character in our list of Christians in the cabinet is actually Reince Priebus. Now, Reince, he gets a lot of heat. I mean, you know, a lot of people feel that he's a rhino, that he's not up to snuff, but he's actually a staunch Christian conservative. I actually know a guy that works for Reince. He's a speechwriter, David Willisaw, and he has good things to say about Reince and his character. So when I see Reince maligned, I keep that in mind. Politics is politics.
So. This is the problem, and I don't care if you're running for dog catcher or any other political avenue, whether you're Republican or Democrat, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter which, there's going to be political stuff said about
yes.
you that
yep.
isn't necessarily actually factual.
Yep.
And you've got to start weighing this stuff out. And this is why in conservative radio, we tell people to do their homework. So
then we've got Jeff Sessions. We got Dr. Ben Carson. We've got Betsy DeVos, Rex Tillerson. Now, I didn't know this about Rex Tillerson until this morning when I read this. It's been reported that he's a devout Christian, attends church weekly, and teaches a Bible study. So he's a fellow Bible study teacher. Yes. Scott Pruitt. That's what prompted me, because I was asked about Scott Pruitt at the EPA, and he's a member of the First Baptist Church of Broken Arrow, where he is also a deacon. Mike Pompeo, head of the CIA. Can you imagine this, folks? He teaches Sunday school to fifth graders. I mean, that's a very shady, devious character right there. That's some cover,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to watch him.
And then there's Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, our ambassador.
To the UN.
To the UN, yes. And she says, my faith in Christ has a profound impact on my daily life, and I look to him for guidance with every decision I make. Nothing wishy-washy there.
Not at all. What we find is that our president's surrounding himself with good Christian people and strong Christian people.
Yes.
We see a little bit of his desire for our religious freedoms in the executive order he just signed. I only wish Congress would get on board and make it a law and not an EO, and that is eliminating the Johnson Amendment.
Yes.
And this is something that most Christians have been waiting for. The executive order, it's a nice show. It's a nice, show of effect, but it really doesn't have any meat in it, because it's just asking the IRS to back off.
Yeah.
We need Congress. You know, the First Amendment says that the law shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise. I mean, it says make no law in establishing a church or prohibiting the free exercise, and yet Johnson's amendment did exactly that, and it prevented us as pastors to speak from the pulpit if we want to speak out against tyranny at a time of election, because the government is we the people, and that includes we the people in the churches,
yeah.
And our job is to fight tyranny from that pulpit in all of its forms.
The Black Robe Brigade,
yes. Yeah, that's,
yep, that's how
I'm a big member of it.
There you go.
We must fight tyranny from all points. And if the government's going to sit there and stifle what I preach from my pulpit, isn't that prohibiting me free exercise of my religion?
Yep, exactly. That's like I heard somebody say the other day. I was on Theron's show, and they were talking about, we don't want the flag at political events. We don't want the flag there because at sporting events, because we don't want to make a political statement. Then I called in and I told Theron, says, yeah, but isn't taking the flag away a political statement? It's the same thing with our faith. You know, they don't want our faith on a park bench, but they want to put a sticker on there, this park bench brought to you by Atheists of America, without the Christian symbolism attached.
Right.
I mean, it's one or the other. It's a battle.
We're an American nation. The flag is the American flag. If you're going to sit there and you're going to play the national anthem, you're going to fly the flag. The fact
well,
is,
that's next to go, though, is the national anthem.
Well, you know, they're trying. There's so much that they're trying to kick out that is in the American government. For example, the American flag, the national anthem. How about the Pledge of Allegiance? I mean, that's under attack. Our motto, In God We Trust.
Yep.
Anything that has to do with faith, or anything that has to do with the founding of this nation, they want to rewrite history. We were formed as a Christian nation, as you know. And now they need to rewrite all of that.
Yeah.
And make all the founders evil, which means we've got to get rid of the flag. We've got to get rid of anything that refers to God, because that was the religion of our founders, but not really. You know, they'll double argue that. In one breath is, well, that was the religion of the founders, which were a bunch of slave owners, and therefore we have to get rid of it. It's revisionist history,
yep,
and revisionist government.
By the way, I want to shift gears here. Okay.
Again. We can do that.
I want to mention that Representative Tim Walberg is going to be making his monthly visit to the show, and he's going to be on in the second half hour of the show. And if there's anybody that would like to ask a question of Representative Walberg concerning the budget, health care, whatever's on your mind, I'd appreciate it if you would call in and give that question to Derek, because we don't have a lot of time right now. Sorry, Derek. We don't have a lot of time right now to take calls, and I don't want to take calls particularly during Representative Walberg's visit. But I remember last year when Mike from Ann Arbor and I sat in with Gary, and Tim was on the phone. I was really glad I got some opportunities to ask some direct questions to him. Well, this is your opportunity to do the same thing. Come up with some questions. Feel free to ask. I'll relay those questions. We'll keep them civil. and we'll wait for the answers. So the number is 762-1600?
No.
No?
Not even close. Oh. That's your cell phone number. The phone number is
734-822-1600. Yes.
Yes.
Well, excuse me.
Hey, I don't care if they're calling your cell phone number.
That is not my cell phone number either. I'm just teasing with you. I pity the fool who got that call. So, Derek, we're in dire straits. Would you play Dire Straits for us, please?
No.
No, that would be the dire threat. I'm sorry. Audio one.
If the bill passed today in the House became law, thousands of Americans would die because they would no longer have access to health care.
This will cost American lives if it ever becomes law. This will mean death, pain, and suffering to people's families.
They're going down to celebrate something that comes way, way, way short of what the president looked the American public in the eye and said he was going to deliver.
It's really a stupid bill. It is a bill of deconstruction of government. From the beginning, Trump Care was a moral monstrosity that will devastate seniors, children, and hardworking Americans.
This crushing age tax will fall on some of the most vulnerable members of our society.
Well, it sounds like the trailer for a horrible disaster movie, doesn't it?
You know, actually, when Pelosi said that they're going for the deconstruction of government, I'm going, yeah!
Yeah, there we go, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah, we could use
let's deconstruct
that.
Some government, because yep. Government's way too big.
Yep. Actually, I was on the phone with my sister-in-law this morning, and we were talking about this. And she's kind of financially challenged at the time, working a part-time job. And she was asking me what I thought of what was going on with healthcare. And we had the talk, and I was really proud of her because she's a conservative, and she does not want the government handout. She wants a system where she can pay for affordable health care, but not the government handout. And when you talk to people, I mean, there's such an expectation now of the government to provide for the nation that actually Krauthammer said something about that, and I think that's audio three.
But, Charles, how significant is this, that this bill has passed the House?
Well, I mean, for political reasons, for the president and for Speaker Ryan, this was a really very important moment, simply on the negative side. Had it not,
right.
That would have been a striking out. You know, the Republicans have railed against the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, for 7 years. They promised. They voted over 60 times to repeal when they knew that the repeal would be ineffective because Obama was in office. And now that they have a Republican in office, they're not able to pass a bill. So simply the fact of passing the bill, I think, is extremely important because of the downside.
Right.
The problem is what's in the bill. And the problem is that we have a very rickety health care system as a result of Obamacare. And it's very hard to predict what the effects are going to be. But the one thing we know is this is like the economy. You come into office, you own the economy, no matter whether it's your your work or not, whether anything is a result of what you do. You come into office, you own the healthcare system,
right.
Particularly when you pass something like this. I mean, if you have an appointment with your doctor that gets canceled, they're going to blame Donald Trump and Paul Ryan, no matter whether it has direct effect or not. And that's where they are now. They are hostage to the future of American healthcare.
Would they have been anyway? I mean, you heard some Republican strategists in Washington say, do nothing, allow Obamacare to collapse, stand back, warm your hands on the embers, and then build something in its place. Was that possible?
No, it's not possible.
Right.
The moment.
All right, so no, it's not possible. Also, I think Krauthammer is one of the most brilliant minds among political commentators today.
Well, he definitely has something right, is no matter what would have happened. When Trump was elected, he owns this market. He really does. The same as when Obama was elected, Obama did everything he could to blame Bush for everything. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, he did it through all 8 years. He blamed Bush for everything.
Yep.
And what did we as conservatives say? It's no, you were elected. This now belongs to you. And this is where Krauthammer has it right. So we have a broken medical system. It belongs to Trump. So what does he have to do? He can either let it go. A lot of people thought that Obamacare should be just allowed to implode on itself and say, well, there you go. Obamacare failed.
But then you haven't provided a solution.
But there's no solution, and it's still on Trump. So he owns it regardless. So he's got to do something. And we talked about this a lot in Linda's show.
I heard that.
I would love to see a full repeal and then, and as Theron pointed out, another package come in with replacement. We didn't get that full repeal. We didn't get it what we want.
We're not getting the three phases they talked about either.
We don't know that
also,
either.
Because we're not getting the budget. I mean, health care first and then the budget. We're getting the budget and then health care.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where reconciliation fits into health care instead of the budget.
Well, it's going to fill in. It's we're going to have to literally see the new bill.
We have one reconciliation in my mind, and we blew it on health care, and we didn't.
Well, that budget was not – was not a budget, first of all. It's as much
beyond the budget.
Continuing resolution, which I'm totally against to start with.
Yeah.
I think that should pass a budget. This wasn't the budget. But it doesn't mean that the budget's dead. That means now they should be working on it for the next few months.
Well, but Ryan had been saying all along, now we're going to get on to regular business, and then all of a sudden we're doing a continuing resolution again. I was really hoping that we were going to get to regular business and do a budget.
I think we all were. But what we have in Congress is we have a lot of rhinos. And we got 30 conservatives.
You know what? You say rhino. And these days, you wonder, what is a Republican? I mean, they are the definition of Republican.
Okay, let me say this. We got a lot of
conservatives in name only.
Conservatives in name only. We have about 30 actual conservatives sitting in that House right now.
Yep.
And I'm not even looking at the Senate, just in the House. We have about 30. That's not enough to pull it. So we're going to have to sit there and say, let's see how much we can swing it to the right again. But realize
which is what the Freedom Caucus was doing. And they did it somewhat effectively.
They didn't do it enough,
but...
And the choice is okay, they do nothing, and then we still stick with Obamacare. And when it does implode, guess what? It's on us. So
that's
you got to do
sausage
something.
Making, isn't it?
Yeah, we ever watch sausage being made? Yeah, it's disgusting. Yeah, it's good to know how it's made, but you really won't want to eat it afterwards.
Okay, well, we're going to take a call from Joe from Wyandotte real quickly before we sign off because he's been very patient before we go for our mid break. And I have to press a button to do that. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey,
that,
Joe.
That helps, Ed.
New guy.
I wanted to shift gears on you and discuss something from Gary's thedailydrift.com, which, of course, everybody should be checking out.
The news you need to know.
Yep, and it's apropos that you played a soundbite from Crazy Bernie and Crazy Pelosi, both in the same soundbite, because I wanted to discuss the story on there that he has about Nancy Pelosi going to be challenged. Well, is that relevant to us? Yes, it's very important that Nancy Pelosi get the Eric Cantor treatment. And Stephen Jaffe, a Bernie bot, is going to challenge Nancy Pelosi. And hopefully all the Bernie bots flood his campaign with millions of dollars to take her on, because he's going to claim she's not liberal enough, which everywhere else would be laughable. But in San Francisco, it could play.
Well, you know, I look at that like the swapping of Supreme Court seats. You know what I mean? You got that slot. You got the Nancy Pelosi crazy left slot, and you're not going to get a Republican in that slot. So I really don't care which crazy lefty takes that slot.
Right. They're not going to put a Republican in the head of their party slot.
Let somebody else get rich on real estate in San Francisco, you know, since she's had her shot at it.
Hey, she's happy flying around on a U.S. paid jet drinking her Grey Goose martinis.
Yep.
And she wants to keep drinking them.
It would be wonderful, though. I just, them to elect a crazy Bernie-type socialist just way even further left than she is, just really show the direction that party is, the place it's in now, though. They won't be honest about it, but that's where they want to go. That's where they all are. And it would be nice just to have her nuttiness gone. Steny Hoyer would probably then take over the leadership. That actually might backfire because he might be reasonable.
Okay. Well, you hear the music, Joe. You know how it goes. All right?
Yep, take care.
Talk to you later, brother.
P
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. New charges of hacking an election campaign, this time leveled by a French presidential candidate ahead of tomorrow's voting.
A leak last night of documents apparently stolen from the campaign of candidate Emmanuel Macron. By law in France, there can be no campaign activity on the day before a vote. That rule also means Macron is limited in his ability to respond to the attack.
Fox's Simon Owen. A white former police officer near Dallas has turned himself in facing murder charges linked to the shooting of a black teenager in a car filled with teens leaving a party a week ago.
He shot three times, according to the driver, and then he proceeded to drive once the officer started shooting. I mean, he's under fire.
Jasmine Crockett, attorney for the family of the teen. The Defense Department says a Navy SEAL was killed yesterday while supporting the Somali Army in an operation against Al-Shabaab, identified as Kyle Milliken of Maine. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Get ready to drive home a winner. It's Fire Keeper's Fast and Fearless Challenger Giveaway, Saturday, May 27th, with big prizes, free gas, and two brand new Dodge Challengers up for grabs. Starting at 2 p.m., you could be one of nine players to win free gas for a year, plus $1,000 in Red Hawk credits. Then the fun really throttles up. At 8 p.m., one player will win a Dodge Challenger SRT. And at 10 p.m., it's the grand prize drawing, a limited edition $65,000 Challenger Hellcat. Earn entries every day. The Fast and Fearless Challenger Giveaway kicks winning into high gear Saturday, May 27th. Fire Keepers, the best promotions, the biggest guaranteed prizes. Get ready, get set, get your Vegas on. I-94 to exit 104 in Battle Creek. FirekeepersCasino.com. Management reserves all rights.
The highest quality tractor in the U.S. and number one in customer satisfaction for 2015 and again in 2016 is LS Tractor, both awarded by EDA. This is Mark at Ashelman Equipment. We have a full line of LS four-wheel drive diesel tractor loaders ready to go. Forks, blades, tillers, plows, and mowers in stock, ready for all your projects. Subcompact to large farm, opener cab with heat and AC. Hydro transmissions make driving fun and easy for the whole family. Attachments are changed with just a pull of a lever. Highest quality, more feature standard, 5-year warranty, free loader, and 1.59% financing qualifying. Ashelman Equipment in Whitmore Lake is at exit 50 on US 23, just north of Ann Arbor. Call 734-994-6000. That's 734-994-6000.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, once again, welcome back to The Drift. And once again, I am not Gary Wellings. You're stuck with me, Ed Bondarenka and Ed from Ipsy. And welcome to the show. Gary had to take some business off. And before we get into our next segment, where we'll be talking with Representative Tim Walberg, I want to talk to you about Claves Marina. Being a boat owner myself, I know how important it is to have your boat ready to be on the water when the weather breaks. And that was January this year. I saw people on the water in January. So I was caught unawares. But don't be that person. Get to Claves Marina. If you want to buy your own boat, get a new boat, Get a used boat. Get your boat worked on. Claves Marina. That's McGregor Road. The phone number is 734-426-4532. It's where you want to go to get your boating needs taken care of. Get that tune-up. Make sure you get a tune-up before you go out on the water and discover that you stalled out and are sitting there waiting for a tow.
You know, I've been to Claves Marina for over the years, and the people there are friendly, they're professional, and man, they know their job. They really do.
Excellent.
So I'd recommend Claves all day long.
Excellent. And now we're going to join on line one, Tim Walberg, Representative Tim Walberg. Representative Walberg, for those that you don't know, is an American politician, former pastor, Republican. And what I like about him is that we have in common, we both had the intelligence to name our son Caleb. How are you doing?
Okay. Ed, well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Caleb was a really important person in the Old Testament who said, I want that mountain. And he was always moving forward. So son is that way.
Did that name hold true in your son? I believe it means dogged in the Hebrew, and it really applies to my son. I was wondering if it holds true to yours.
Yeah, my Caleb is dogged, that's for sure. And at point in times in his life, that was a challenge. But
yep, I know the feeling.
But, yeah.
Kids. So welcome aboard. Glad to have you back. I remember the first time that we talked, Mike from Ann Arbor was in here, and I really appreciated the opportunity to ask you some questions that normally you don't get to ask a representative one-on-one. And I've asked listeners to phone in with any questions that they might have for you, particularly about the health care bill and the budget going forward. But even Pastor Rick here has a question for you.
Yeah, actually, it's not on the health care bill. I mean, it's already out of the House now. It's up to the Senate, so I want to go into a different direction. Is the president just signed an executive order pretty much telling the IRS to lay back on the Johnson Amendment? And I've been saying all along, I would love to see somebody in Congress take that up and get that pushed through and taken care of in Congress, eliminated. Anything? Is there anything in Congress going on right now that is moving in that direction?
Well, excuse me, if I may, along those lines, is there anything stopping you from offering that?
Yeah, well, we have legislation that I've co-sponsored the past several years. Now we have a president that is entirely capable of signing it. Of course, we have to get it through the Senate, and the filibuster issued always is the bugaboo there. But the Freedom of Religion Act, which covers all of that, and covers more, including going into our schools, our colleges, universities. I'm working on that on the Education and Workforce Committee as we reauthorize the Higher Education Act, that we also make sure that that the schools like Spring Arbor, for instance, in my district, have longstanding statement of faith and principles, mission statements that in recent years they've had pushback coming from the federal government on living within their conscience and not being considered going against free speech of others, that we give freedom of religion, as we always have in this country, as it was designed, primacy. And while we don't want people to be mean and nasty, yet we don't want to say, if this is your strongly held belief, whatever it is, in this country we'll honor that, whether they agree with it or not. So those are issues that we're pushing. We'll continue to push in the House. The challenge is getting it to the president, who I'm certain would sign it. The challenge is the Senate, and that's why I encourage people to continue talking to our senators as well, even though some people say it doesn't do us any good. Well, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to try.
Right. I've got good news. I've got a great congressman in my district. His name is Congressman Walberg. I live in your district. I'm not one to sit here, and I don't want to preach the Constitution to a pastor and to a congressman. But the First Amendment, there's two parts of the religious clause in there. It says Congress shall make no law creating a religion in this country, right? But there's another part that says, nor will it prohibit the free exercise thereof. In other words, Congress will make no law that will prohibit the free exercise of our faith. I think the Johnson Amendment does exactly that. It prohibits us on the pulpit to fight tyranny.
It absolutely does. And that's why, again, I think the president is absolutely right in doing what he did and saying, and then Baines Johnson had his chance, we're going to rescind that. In fact, as you know, it's been enforced with no equality over the past number of years. We know lots of candidates from the left side of the spectrum have walked across platforms, major churches around this country, who had the endorsement of the pastor or the bishop or whatever else.
Yeah, I think of that Roman Catholic priest, Father Flagler, you know.
Well, that's one. I'm thinking of a number of black churches and the Clintons for another.
Right. Yeah. You can go on and on.
All we're saying, and as a former pastor, I believe that my responsibility, even as Harvard University, their original motto was Christ, Church, and Truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they were training pastors at that time, so they would be academically excellent. They would know the issues not only related to theology, but economics, education, technology, etc. So when they preached to their congregations and taught them, they could teach a full message to them about, for instance, the value of work and why work was created and what it's supposed to be in your life and what discipline's about and what economics are. And so to say to pastors over the course of the past number of years, you cannot stand up and speak on issues that have great impact upon your values, that's absolutely wrong. When you can't stand up and say or answer a question from a congregant who says, what about Clinton and what about Trump? How am I going to make a decision here? Both of them have some negatives relative to me being a person of faith. How am I going to deal with that? And so for a pastor not to be able to say, well, listen, you look to the Old Testament, you see Daniel, Joseph, Nehemiah, etc., who served under four separate heathen kings, and yet each of those kings ultimately did well for Israel because they saw the impact of a person like Daniel stepping up, and it blessed both nations. So to be able to teach people is part of the responsibility of a pastor, and that includes teaching them how to be good citizens, and citizens vote, and citizens take interest in what's going on. So I'm delighted the president did that. I was in the Oval Office with him the other day, and wanted to thank him for that.
Here's something you may or may not be aware of is right now, because the church has got to become 501(c), which is a corporation. In the state of Michigan right now, if you violate that pulpit law of speaking out from the pulpit in Michigan, under Michigan law, because it's under being a corporation, a pastor can actually be thrown in jail for violating
because
that.
Corporations are entities of the state government.
Of the state, yeah, and it's in the Michigan state laws that a pastor, if they are on that pulpit endorsing, can actually get charged with a misdemeanor and 90 days in jail.
Well, Representative Wahlberg, where does that bill stand right now? You've co-sponsored it. Where does it stand? Is it going to the Senate?
It's in committee. We've been spending a lot of time on some other issues, as you know.
Oh, really? I hadn't noticed. Well, we can speak about those issues.
Committee's been pretty wrapped up with doing CRAs and, of course, the health care repeal and replace, and now working forward on the tax reform bill. So, but that is in committee. Committees will have hearings on it, on the Higher Education Act reauthorization. That we've just started holding hearings on that. And like I said, one of the primary things that I want to make sure that we have in the accreditation cycle, as well as the whole authorization of the act, is that we give religious liberties and to our universities based upon their mission statement. I would jump on one other thing for any pastors that are listening. In talking with a group of pastors a few weeks ago who came to Washington, I said, you know, relative to your 501(c)(3), it's great you have it. It can be very helpful for tax purposes, but I would encourage you to find any way possible to start preparing for a day when you're going to have to give that up.
Well, you've already given that up.
I've given up mine, yes. In our church, we've given ours up.
Yeah, and I encourage pastors to think about that. Get their finances of the church in line so they don't have to have that if it were to go away, so that the government can't come in and take away your property. Be as unencumbered as possible.
Right.
Well, wait a minute.
You can speak clearly.
We had no taxation of churches. I was always told that the premise of no taxation for churches was because the ability to tax is the ability to destroy. And consequently, it was deemed that churches would not be taxed because that would be an abridgment of freedom of religion. And I didn't know it had anything to do with directly with 501c3, which
it is now.
But prior to the Johnson Amendment, churches still weren't taxed because of that.
Well, the 501c3 has been all around an awful long time, and again, that I tell pastors that's easily becomes the idol that sits in the corner of your sanctuary that you don't want to mess with. But in fact, we may have times in this country. We've got a great opportunity now to push back against the collectivist liberalism that was coming in. But it's going to be a battle, as you saw this past week on the Affordable Care Act repeal and replace. As we started it in the House, initially moved forward, I expect to have demonstrations in front of my office. I expect to have demonstrators at my home. And it is going to be an ugly time. So, again, I would say make sure, number one, you do whatever is necessary as a pastor, as a person of faith, a Christian, to be able to stand on your principles and not be encumbered regardless right. of whether we are free or whether we aren't free.
All right. So, got a question on the health bill for you, real quick, the health care bill. A lot of people are crying because the purchasing across state lines was not part of this bill.
It couldn't be.
Okay. Here's what I want to say is when that becomes part of the bill, that, in my mind, takes care of the pre-existing clause, because Michigan Blue Cross Blue Shield, not to give them advertising here, they had pre-existing conditions long before Obamacare. If people wanted to come to Michigan and buy from our Blue Cross Blue Shield, they would take care of pre-existing conditions, right?
Because of nonprofit, yeah.
Right. There's a part of me that doesn't even want to talk about the health care bill right now, because as far as I can see, it's going to be a whole different animal than it currently is anyhow by the time it comes back from the Senate. Do you think that's true?
Well, not necessarily. Don't assume that. This bill that we put out, we were very careful to not cross the line on the Byrd rule, which is the Senate rule, and which we couldn't ask the parliamentarian of the Senate directly. We had to go through senators and Senate staff to pose questions to the parliamentarian about the parts and points and policy of our reconciliation bill. We only have one shot at this reconciliation bill. If it violates the Byrd rule in any way, it throws it all out, and we don't have a second chance. Now, the Senate, they don't have that encumbrance on them. They can offer amendments to our bill, and if the parliamentarian says it does not meet the requirements of the Byrd rule, which allows only revenue or expenditure items to be in a reconciliation bill, they can step back, remove the amendment, and then offer another amendment. So that's why things like the purchase of health care across state lines, because it was more policy than expenditure, we didn't take a chance on it. The Senate can put that in. But otherwise, everything we talked about in our Better Way plan for the past year was in that bill, starting with the main reconciliation portion to repeal the Affordable Care Act, basically, by doing away with the individual and corporate business employer mandate. We did away with taxes in it, almost $1 trillion of tax savings, and all of the rest that went with that bill. And then we added whatever we thought we could get in safely and not violate the Byrd rule as far as policy issues, and that's where health savings accounts expansion was put in it. That's where we put in language to make sure that pre-existing conditions were covered. And so that's there, and though the Senate, some of them are talking about starting their own bill, I think in the end, it's extremely likely that with the negotiations going on with President Trump and the Speaker of the House and Mitch McConnell, I think it's more likely than not that they use our bill, they amend it, they make it better, they send it back to us, we conference it, and we send it to the President for signing.
Why did we use the reconciliation? We get one reconciliation a year, is that right?
Right.
Why did we use that on health care instead of on the budget or the continuing resolution?
Because it was more important for several reasons. The continuing resolution was just the ending gasp of the Obama administration. That's how he's carried on the appropriations process for a full 8 years. We've not gone through the 12 bills of the appropriations package for these 8 years. We've had to do CRs, continuing resolutions, omnibuses, cromnibuses, and other buses. That's the only way that would happen.
That was because of Harry Reid not taking up a budget, right?
Yeah, that was because of him. He had the opportunity to do that. And before he became minority leader, we didn't even have a budget resolution. That's where the reconciliation opportunity comes from. When both houses pass a budget resolution, based upon that, then we have one shot at a reconciliation bill that doesn't have any filibuster opportunity in it. And that only came as a result of the last two and a half years of having a Republican-controlled House and Senate. So we had one. We didn't use last year's. So we have a second one that we can use for our tax reform package. So we wanted to save it for that. That's why it was important to keep going. When the president said, threw up his arms back in March and said, take the vote, I'm moving on.
Congressman.
Go ahead.
Just real question. And I'm understanding the process, and I understand why you didn't know, and I appreciate your explanation.
But I want to make sure that everybody else understands.
Okay. No, I'm glad. That's why I asked. Right. Thank you.
If you listen to Fox News, they still don't understand. They haven't stopped talking enough to read what reconciliation is, so they're giving a bunch of bogus stuff out there. Bottom line is, we have two shots at it. So we wanted to use it for health care, which was the most difficult one. The spending one, we've held the line since 2011 with the 2011 budget deal that set a cap in place. So we're basically stayed at 2011 spending levels for these last years, right up to the present. So the reason was get the health care bill through without filibuster opportunity, and then that gives us almost $1 trillion of tax cuts, which allows us to have a baseline lower by about $1 trillion for our tax reform proposal. That will go under a reconciliation bill as well, which again takes the filibuster opportunity, because you know as much as the nose in your face that the Democrats aren't going to give us one vote for the health care repeal and replace. They're not going to give us one vote for tax reform either.
That's right.
So those are the most important things we got to get through. This most recent spending bill, we got a lot of good things in it. There was some garbage still in it, of course, but we got some great things in it, and we're moving on. We have our own processes from here on out. Won't be easy, but at least we'll control it. We have a president that says, if you get it to me, I'll sign it.
Okay, my question was going to be this, and actually it mirrors Tom from Ann Arbor. He has about the same question I was going to have on this. Is come this September, and you do the bill, if you had a crystal ball, what would your projection be of defunding Planned Parenthood when you actually deal with the budget in September?
Well, it will be. The language will be in the House version. I would guess it would be in the Senate version as well. The question is, under filibuster, can they get that through? We did that in this reconciliation bill. We defunded Planned Parenthood. We can only do it for a year because it's a budget reconciliation bill, and budgets are for a year. But it established the case, and it tells Planned Parenthood, I guess you're going to have to live without any Title X funding that you you co-mingle with all of the dollars you raise and you make on abortions. And is it that important to you to continue pushing against something that is overwhelmingly not supported by the American people? So that's the process. But you can bet that in the House, there will be no budget bill that goes with the Health and Human Services area that will have any funding in for Planned Parenthood, and there will be prohibitions that will defund Planned Parenthood as well by name.
Well, specifically, Tom's question was, is anything being done to keep Planned Parenthood from teaching sex education in the public schools?
That's up to your local schools. And again, that's what we want to see. We want to devolve the federal government from as much as possible. And if we can, devolve the state government from as much as possible, keep it at the local level so you and I can go to our local school districts and say, we disagree with that strongly.
Put Betsy DeVos on unemployment?
Pardon?
Put Betsy DeVos on unemployment?
I don't think Betsy would mind that, but she has a tough challenge. Again, as Ronald Reagan said, the closest thing to eternal life on this earth is a government agency.
Yeah.
And we had the opportunity, sadly, under Bill Bennett, Secretary of Education, under Reagan, he had the opportunity, because that thing was only in operation for about 4 years. Department of Education.
I talked to Bill about this. I've talked to Bill on a number of occasions, and I specifically asked Bill about that at one point. And he said he tried to get the Department of Education budget cut, and he couldn't do it. Congress wouldn't let him do it. So we have another question from a listener. Gary from Whitmore Lake wants to know what you think of the McSally bill.
Well, I voted for it. That was one thing.
You had to have. It was unanimous.
It was unanimous. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the only unanimous bill that's passed in this term thus far, and that had to go as a companion bill. It couldn't be part of the reconciliation bill because it was a policy bill again, very clearly a policy bill. But it simply says that we will accept the same health care that everybody else gets under our health care reform bill. I'm
excellent.
Delighted about that. My staff is delighted about that. They're tired of being under Obamacare. And so that was no problem at all.
Excellent. And that's good to see, too. Now, what do you think the chances of the Senate are on that?
Oh, they're going to have to pass that. They can't stand up against that. The pressure from their constituents, their states, would be too intense.
Okay. When do you think that might happen?
Well, if you can determine the mind of a senator...
it's dark and dirty in there. I don't know. Okay. Well, it was great having you on, Representative Wahlberg. Thank you very much for calling in. We'll be talking to you again next month. Was there any last... Oh, excuse me.
Rick, I just want to let you know, Congressman, our congregation, our little church, keeps you specifically in prayer every Sunday. And so just wanted to let you know that.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate that. And we are a diverse nation. We have a plurality of religions and beliefs and lacks of belief, and that's America. But Christians should not stand down. We should be proud of our faith. Our country was established on scriptural, biblical principles. There is no debate about that. You just have to read the writings of the framers and founders, including George Washington, who we celebrated a week and a half ago with our fourth annual George Washington Man of Prayer service in the Statuary Hall of the Capitol of the United States, and broadcast over Daystar to millions of people. And it didn't take whack at anybody else, just simply said, we honor a man who was committed to praying and a God who blessed this nation. And so let's keep on keeping on and make America great again.
Amen.
There you go. Yeah. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, sir. It was good having you on, and we'll talk to you next month. Thank
good
you.
Good to be with you. Don't let Gary have too much vacation, though.
Great.
I agree. Make him work every Sunday.
Bye.
And Saturday.
Yeah. Bye. All right. Well, before we close, I'd like to make a quick... I started out wrong on that. I'd like to tell you about the Wellbridge Epic Experience. The Wellbridge Group, your bridge to recovery and wellness. So if you're looking for a center to recover, think Wellbridge Recovery. And there's the music. The phone number, real quick, is, there's a number of them. Hey, look, currentonline.com. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.